Well, a warm welcome to you who just tuned in. This program is called At Ease, and it is made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. Also, this program is a production of Good News Community Radio Station and program number 146. I am your host, Chris Meyer, and you are about to listen to our devotion by Chaplain Ben Smith. As he's going to read for us out of John 12, verse 9 to 10, and the theme of this devotion is Lazarus' Perspective. Then dive deep with Henry de Pre with three Bible questions. After him will be the South African Navy Band with Lieutenant Moholani, where this song is going to play for us, Ukutula. After the Navy Band will be Pastor Willem Conradi with Discipling with Willem. And then after that, the testimony by Graham Wilson, as he's going to narrate it for us out of the South African military newspaper, of a person called Paul Kuthlase, Lieutenant Stand Strong is the theme of this testimony. Then Riranjo Mangani in Riri's Corner, dive deep again with the three answers to those questions. Then Tanya Kutsia with Forward with Hope, and we will play out our last song from the South African Heavy Band, O Perfect Love. Well, let's listen now to Chaplain Ben Smith.
Our scripture reading is taken from John 12, verses 9 and 10, and the theme for Lazarus' perspective. I am sure that Lazarus must have had an exclusive and an amazing perspective on death and dying. He's the one person that could have boasted, been there, have done that, and I'm not sure if he has been issued the T-shirt at the time. However, he must have been convinced that if he could be brought back to this life, life after death must be a certain reality, and that all power rests with Christ. Secondly, I believe the threat to kill him because of Christ must have had little or no impact on him. The argument being, if Christ have raised him once, he can raise him at will, one way or the other. In the application of Scripture, this truth rests with us as it rested with him. The following of Christ will cost you your life. And in Christ we have the courage and conviction to say, bring it on. Christ reinforced this mindset when he said, he who believes in me will never die. Is this your reality? Let us pray. Father God, thank you that in Christ we have a hope that cannot fail, and a perspective on death and dying that is unassailable. As we pray this in his name, amen.
Thank you, Chaplain, for John 12, verse 9 to 10. Lazarus' Perspective. Henlu, it is your turn.
Hello and welcome to Dive Deep, the quiz that blends biblical insights with military trivia. I'm your host, Henlo DP, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. Let's dive into our first question. What is the rank called of the highest ranking military officer in most countries? Second question, who was the first man created by God? Third question, which Roman man did Jesus praise for his great faith?
Thank you, Henlu, for those three questions. I trust that our listeners has dot it down. Now we're going to listen to the South African Navy Band with Lieutenant Moholani in charge, a beautiful song called Ukutula.
Ukutula.
Thank you, Lieutenant, for that song. We're going to listen now to Pastor Willem Conradi as he's going to share with us the Discovery Bible Study in Discipling with Willem.
Hello, good evening to you all here from a sunny but wet Cape Town. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, I want to share a few thoughts with you about Discovery Bible Study as a powerful tool and a wonderful tool to unlock God's Word, for people to discover the Word for themselves, as a tool for evangelism, but also for discipling others. So I want to start this evening with a thought from a verse from Matthew 24, verse 14, the words of Jesus, when the disciples asked him when the end will come, what will the signs be of the end? After giving some signs, he ends with this, and he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus says the final sign is that the end will only come when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, as, and there will be a testimony in every nation, in all nations. And whose responsibility is it to do that? It is ours. We can't just sit and wait for the end to come. We have to preach the gospel, to take the gospel to every nation. And what an ideal way to do that is to share it with small groups of people through Discovery Bible Study. So tonight I want to begin and just share a good tool with you to use Discovery Bible Study, and that's an app. It is called discoverapp.org. Discoverapp.org. You can download that or just Google it in, and it will give you so many easy ideas and ways to do Discovery Bible Study, but also it has a list called From Creation to Christ, a guided Discovery Bible Study. So it gives you 30 scriptures from creation through to Jesus, to the redemption through Jesus, stories of Jesus, that you can use right through the year, actually, with a group. So I just want this evening to give you the first four from Genesis. just if you may be wondering what stories you can use. So it's good to go through the whole Bible, in other words, and tell stories from creation to Christ. So the first one is Genesis 1, verse 1 to 25. God created the world, and then Genesis 1, 1 to 25, then Genesis 2, verse 4 to 24, the creation of man, and then Genesis 3, divided in two. Genesis 3, 1 to 13 is first sin and judgment, and then Genesis 3, verse 14 to 24, the fall, the judgment of a sinful world. So we have two stories from creation, from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and then two stories about the fall, Genesis 3, 1 to 13, and then 14 to 24. Just I'll continue then and give more of these stories, but best is for you just to go to discoverapp.org. So next today, I would like to just play a little clip from the New Generations people up in Northwest Africa, where they explain Discovery Bible Study in such a great way. So I just want to play this clip to you so that you we hear it from someone else. Okay, here we go.
You know, in this process, it is very important that everything that is done is simple. Everyone can reproduce it, not only use it, but reproduce it. The Discovery Bible Study, it is a very simple, inductive Bible study. You know, when we come to the Bible, the church is used to having experts to teach and preach and tell people what to believe, what to do, what not to do. But in the Discovery Bible Study, you don't teach, you don't preach in the traditional way of doing it. You facilitate a process of discovery. People discover the truth, and then they obey. Jesus said, go and make disciples and teach them to obey.
Can you think of a time when you had that aha moment, that you feel that God dropped something in your heart and you discovered it for yourself and you saw it for the first time? And people can often reference several times that happened years back in their lives. So they can remember those times when they saw something, when their eyes were opened and they discovered something. But they can't remember much when it was presented in a monologue form.
When we want to disciple people, we must help them discover the truth and personalize.
I would say this is the engine of the whole process.
Discovery is a core value that really infuses everything that we do. It really is training people towards a lifestyle of being the church.
Every leader that leads the TVS is just a facilitator. So you just ask the question and guide the process of discussion. That's all what you do. But the people themselves discover for themselves.
So it is to read or to listen and then ask questions. What are we learning about God here? What are we learning about Jesus? What are we learning about man?
Things to confess or to avoid. And once people list out of the scripture, they will just list if there's any sin to confess or to avoid. The next thing they'll talk about promise, praise, or prayer. And then the promises, and then the praise. Is there any prayer from the passage? And people will come out with promises and praise and prayer. The next one is that any example to follow or not to follow? Are there any commands to obey? Do we have any commands to obey in the passage?
So far from Northwest Africa, where they have been doing so much of the Discovery Bible study, I just want to end today to give a testimony from there on the Lake Tanganyika in the northern province of Zambia, where we partner there with a wonderful team of believers doing evangelism and church planting and discipling others. There in the small town of Nsumbu on Lake Tanganyika, there's a pastor who is really taking this Discovery Bible study so serious in evangelizing to Muslim people around there, around the lake, and it's been so powerful. There's quite a few young people, young Muslim people from Muslim families who came to faith, and some of them are persecuted. There's one young lady still at school who's been, the mother was so upset that she packed up her things, threatened to throw her out, actually did throw her out at one stage, and also assaulted her. And even when this young lady went, a new believer, new disciple went to church, she came right into the church and attacked her there and also threatened. And in the end, some of the Muslim leaders came to the pastor's house and threatened him and pushed him around there. But this lady asked for a new Discovery Bible study, and she brought her friend, and this Discovery Bible study was actually right opposite the mosque. But she was so brave. She said she would never turn back, and she is learning to be a disciple through Discovery Bible study and inviting others to come. So God's word is powerful, and it is active, and new people come to faith daily and are built up in the faith. May God bless you as you also take this to your neighbors and to your family and to your friends.
Thank you, Pastor Willem, for this Bible study, how to understand the Bible better. Graham Wilson up next, with a testimony of a man called Paul Kuthlase, Lieutenant Stand Strong. Thank you, Graham.
Paul Colossi's testimony is taken from The Challenge, the Good Newspaper, military edition. Lieutenant stands strong. The ups and downs of life may come, but 29-year-old South African Navy Lieutenant Paul Colossi says God gives him strength to face hard times. My life has been a roller coaster. I lost my brother, the woman I was planning to marry, and I had my car stolen, all in the space of 3 years. It was not easy, but I was quick to find solace in the Lord Jesus Christ and knew that he would help me through it. Going to church and praying to God was always a way of life for Paul's family. Growing up and from a young age, he knew that God loved him and was watching over him. I always wanted to do the right thing just to ensure that I was standing right with God, he explains. Yet it was only at age 11 at a church service a week before his sister's wedding that Paul came to understand that it was not his good works that would assure him a place in heaven. That night he was introduced to the Holy Spirit from that chair in the tent, he says. Pastor explained that growing up in the church or going to church doesn't make you a born-again Christian. He showed us from Romans chapter 10 that each person must choose to accept Jesus and proclaim with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. At the end of the service, I found myself at the front, accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior of my life. From that day onwards, Paul says he has had a thirst for the Word of God in everything and started sharing it with others whenever he had the chance. His pastor even gave him opportunities to preach on Sunday mornings at church. The Bible is the real foundation of heaven and earth, and it speaks to all possible situations that one can face in life, he shares. Even in the hard times, Paul is reminded that many godly men in the Bible suffered, but God brought them through it. The Apostle Paul confirmed this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, where he wrote, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but are not destroyed." Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. "My life is not my life," Paul adds. "I'm a vessel, I'm a champion, I'm an ambassador for God. My life speaks to others by showing that in all circumstances, it is possible to live a right life for God. Trusting in God also makes life easier in times of difficulty, because he has prepared me for any outcome." Paul says it was through reading the Word of God regularly that he not only finds comfort, but has also learned to identify the voice of God. "God still speaks to us directly through the Scriptures, if you know how to listen in order to hear his voice," he explains. Another verse that speaks strongly to Paul are Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, which says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Paul concludes by saying, "Don't just pray when your life is falling apart. He who doesn't pray and read their Bible regularly becomes prey to the bad things of this world." How beautifully simple is Paul Colossi's testimony of God's way of forgiveness of sin and empowering us to live victoriously, regardless of difficulties.
What a testimony, and we thank the Lord for this, Lieutenant Stand Strong. And there, out of Cape Town, up next, Riranzo Mangani in Riri's Corner.
South Africa, good evening listeners of At Ease program. I am Riranzo Mangani, a petty officer in the Navy as well as a member of the South African Military Christian Fellowship. I would like to welcome you to Riri's Corner this evening. I hope you are well rested as you are listening to Riri's Corner. Hope you are warm if you are here in Western Cape. I know also in Gauteng is cold. Actually, I think the whole country is cold. So hope you are staying warm and safe where you are. We are going to start our Riri's Corner with our prayer, AMCF prayer. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant us the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus, that we may be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. We are going to read our scripture reading today in the book of Matthew chapter 8 from verses 5 to 10. And it reads, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say your word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Amen. This story, what I like about it is that we are talking about a commander of soldiers, which is like us. He is a soldier like us, he's a sailor like us. And now we hear that he had the greatest faith. We hear Jesus start saying that they say he was amazed by his faith in a way that he said, I haven't seen such faith in the whole of Israel. Meaning Israel, knowing that in the Bible, Israel was the chosen generation of God, was the people who knew God the most. And he's saying in the entire generation of Israel, I haven't seen such faith. And that faith was coming from a commander. What I'm trying to say this evening is that we can have the greatest faith even if you are a soldier. Because some people think that you cannot be a born again, you cannot be a Christian, you cannot have faith or be a believer because you are a soldier. But I want to encourage you today, a young soldier, an old soldier, a commander or a seaman or a airman or a private, I want to remind you that, or to encourage you that you can have faith and you can pray and you can trust in God. You can have a good relationship with God even if you are a soldier, because even soldiers believe in God. Even soldiers are driven by God. They do things according to the authority of whom they work under, which those people get the authority from God. So I want to encourage each and every one of us that we can have faith, and the faith that can change things. He had the greatest faith because he believed that because with word we give commands and the command get to be executed. Even God, when he gives a word, that everything in the world get to execute whatever that the word of God says. So I want to encourage each and every one of us that faith is a good thing to have. Faith is a good thing to have, that you trust in God, that whatever that God has said about your life, that he shall do it, he shall do it. Whether it seem possible or impossible, but because God has said he shall do it, he shall indeed do it. I thank you. Have a good evening. God loves you and I love you so much. Sleep thinking about your faith, how far it is. The Bible says that even is as little as the half of a mustard seed, that faith can move mountain. Let us check ourselves, how far is your faith? Remember, our contact details are 083-786-3640. And I repeat, 083-786-3640. Our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. Our email address is ease@gncr.org.za. I repeat, ease@gncr.org.za. You can also message us on our messenger at our Facebook page at South African Military Christian Fellowship. I thank you. Have a good evening. God bless you.
Thank you, Riranzo, for your corner and the prayer snippets and news from the SAMCF. We're going to listen now to Henry de Prayer again with the three answers to those questions in Dive Deep.
Okay, so let's look at the answers to our questions. The first question was, what is the rank called of the highest ranking military officer in most countries? The answer is, it is a general. A general holds supreme command in the field and outranks all other officers. Second question was, who was the first man created by God? It was Adam. Adam is considered the first human being created by God, according to the Bible. He lived in the Garden of Eden with Eve, the first woman. Adam's story is important because it explains the beginning of humanity and the origin of sin. Third question, which Roman man did Jesus praise for his great faith? The answer is, it was the Roman centurion. As mentioned in the Gospels, we read about it in Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, and in Luke 7, verse 1 to 10, the Roman centurion came to Jesus to ask for healing of his servant. His faith impressed Jesus, and he believed that Jesus could heal his servant even from a distance. This story emphasizes faith crossing cultural boundaries. The centurion's humility and trust in Jesus demonstrate that God's power is available to all, regardless of background. And that's all for today's Dive Deep quiz. I hope you enjoyed the questions and learned something new. Remember to keep the faith and stay curious. See you next time, and God bless.
Thank you, Henlu, for your three answers. God bless you. And now it is time for all our PTSD listeners to stand a little bit closer and pen and paper ready, because here's Tanya Kutsia in Forward with Hope.
This section of the program is called Forward with Hope, as we explore post-traumatic stress disorder and the road to healing. I am Tanya and I'm traveling with you on this road. The road may seem uphill to you. You may be out of breath, but stick with me, dear friend. We are taking it slowly and intentionally, and we will therefore reach our goal of healing. We are looking at bridges of healing to cross over the rough waters of PTSD. And so we have come to bridge number 4, forgiveness. Forgiveness received and given, crossing the river of anger and revenge. I've heard a lot of people claim that given what has occurred to them, forgiving someone is the hardest thing to do and nearly impossible. But before you take such a severe step as to hold on to your unforgiveness, please hear me out. Please listen to the end of this program. I'm not downplaying what has occurred to you, nor am I suggesting that it will be simple. I'm also not being kind to the people who traumatized you. Hear this. Nothing is bigger than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is bigger than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take hold of this truth, my friend. Let's continue. Our gold nugget for this episode is Matthew 11, verse 28. And this is Jesus himself speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And when I think of PTSD, the words weary and burdened does come to mind. But now Jesus invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. The other verse to keep in mind is Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up that causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Many people do not have physical wounds on their bodies that can be seen with the naked eye, but many, many people have internal wounds of the soul after a traumatic event. Unseen wounds cause anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness. And this destroys people just as much as physical wounds destroys a person's body. What about you, my dear friend? What atrocities have you witnessed or experienced? What atrocities have you committed? If the anger, bitterness, guilt, shame, and despair which these events have produced in you are not met with forgiveness, either given or received, your journey to a place of healing will not be possible. This fourth bridge will help you find the way to seek forgiveness from God and or from people that have hurt you. It may even be that you unintentionally hurt someone in the line of duty. It will help you learn how to forgive, thereby releasing your anger and bitterness, which is not doing you any good at all, and neither for the people around you. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, we will be discussing forgiveness, and we will look at 3 types of forgiveness. So, seeking forgiveness from God. Most people are prompted to seek God's forgiveness because they feel guilty. But there are 2 kinds of guilt, one that needs forgiveness and another which doesn't. You need to know which kind of guilt you are experiencing, then you will know what to do about it. So let us look at false guilt. And my friends, please listen to me until the end. This is a lot of information. It may be completely new to you, but it will release you. It will help you to forgive. It will help you to understand where you are, and it will help you on this road to healing. Remember, this is a bridge. It's bridge number 4. And let's look at false guilt. Guilt is a good thing. It is created by God. Its purpose is to let us know when we are doing something that will hurt others or ourselves. And it prompts us to go back to God for forgiveness and restoration. But you know, our enemy, Satan, he likes to give us feelings of guilt that have nothing to do with God's laws. This kind of guilt does nothing but produce frustration and depression and cause damage. This happens because there is no way to rid yourself of the effects of false guilt unless you recognize it for what it is. False, a lie from the enemy, not the truth. Let me name a few examples of false guilt, and I encourage you, keep a pen and paper ready and jot some notes down so that you can take a better look at this, an in-depth look at this later on, so that the Holy Spirit can help you and guide you to where you are concerning this in your own life. The first one is survivor's guilt. And thoughts that come to mind when you have survivor's guilt is, I should not have survived when others died around me. Or if I had suffered more, others would have suffered less. Or even, if I had died, others might have lived. Number two is guilt over survivor's joy. And the thoughts in your mind can be, I feel so ashamed about it, but I can't help thinking, I am so happy I didn't get killed. Or, how can I feel good when others died? Number three, guilt over involuntary flight, fight, or freeze response. And the thoughts that can come into your mind is, I always thought I was so brave, but I just froze in my tracks. I couldn't move. Or, when that man jumped at me and nearly killed me, I went crazy. I killed him. I couldn't stop beating him until he was dead. I behaved like a devil. And then the guilt comes. Number four is guilt by association. I'm a soldier. Soldiers sometimes commit atrocities. I am among the atrocity committers. Number five, competency guilt. Thoughts like this may come into your mind. If only I had acted quicker, more skillfully, or smarter, people would not have suffered and died. Number six is impossible choice guilt. The woman looked like she had a bomb under her coat. We kept yelling at her to stop, but she kept coming. If I didn't shoot her, she could have blown up all of us. I shot her, but she had no bomb. How am I supposed to live with that? And this I've heard from soldiers in the field many times. And then number seven is helplessness, guilt. I wanted so badly to get my comrade out of the line of fire, but they had him pinned down. If only I could have gotten to him, he'd still be alive today. Number eight, role and responsibility guilt. As an officer, it was my responsibility to keep my men safe. Some of them died, so obviously I didn't do my job. It's all my fault. In each case listed above, there is no guilt as far as God and His laws are concerned. Each is based on a false idea. Now, friends, of course it's normal to feel sad and angry and frustrated about how things turned out, but don't turn that emotion onto yourself. You were not meant to bear the responsibility for those unfair and unfortunate events over which you did not have any control. So don't take it. Remember that you have a spiritual enemy who will try to manipulate the memories of those events in order to weaken and destroy you. Also remember what you heard all the time growing up. Life is not fair. It won't be fair until we get to heaven. We have spoken about this in a previous program where we said, life is not fair. We live in a fallen world. The only way to deal with false guilt is to recognize its deceitful basis. Shine a spotlight on its source, Satan, and ask God to remove it from you. The guilt feelings may or may not lift immediately, but keep bringing it before God and let Him take that burden off your shoulders. It's not accomplishing anything if you keep it on your own shoulders. God doesn't mean for you to carry it, and no one else wants you to either. Remind yourself daily of what is the truth. We do not fall into the pit of lies from the enemy again. Friends, you have received a lot of new information now. Some of it, or all of it, may be completely new to you. Please take this week to go over this information again. Write down your thoughts and the emotions you experience while doing that. Acknowledge what you feel and be still in the presence of the Lord and allow Him to bring healing to your body and soul and mind. If you have any questions or comments, remember our website www.forwardwithhope.co.za, where you can read and listen to a lot of information to help you. you are most welcome to send me an email. You can listen to the podcast again on Good News Community Radio's app or the website. Until next time, when we will go further with this discussion on forgiveness, take care, friends, and remember there is hope for a better tomorrow. Bless you and take care. Until next time.
Thank you, Tanya, for this program. There's always hope. God is the God of hope. And folks, we're going to play out now again with the South African Navy Band, Oh, Perfect Love. And I want to say to you all, God loves you very, very dearly. Until we meet again next Tuesday, the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place, be at ease.